The farm-to-table movement is well-established now, but when John and Suki Jamison started raising lamb on their farm in western Pennsylvania more than 40 years ago, they were on the forefront of the food revolution. Their small farm found a following among European chefs and sustainability pioneers. Even Julia Childs cooked with the Jamison's lamb. The couple has a new book, Coyotes at the Pasture and Wolves at the Door, about their farm and family. And they spoke by phone with the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant about their storied life and how they're coping under the current challenges.
So the way it started was in 1976, Suki and I bought an old stone house outside of Latrobe when we moved back here, when I moved back here to go into a family business. And it was a house that was built in 1798. It was beautiful, but needed a lot of work, and the guy wouldn't sell it unless we bought the 65 acres and went with it. So after about 5 years or so, 5 to 10 years or so, we got less interested in the house and more interested in the farm. Suki started raising sheep for
4-H, with the children.
I see.
So we were having a learning experience about raising animals on the farm and all that stuff that we learned through 4-H. I had been doing some catering because my first love in all this world was cooking. So that's what led us into farming and raising lamb and doing sheep.
As far as the business goes, we couldn't sell much lamb around here locally, so we tried to do it through the mail, and we were one of the earlier people or small farms, I guess, to do that.
And at that time, why do you think you couldn't sell it locally?
There was just no interest in lamb around here, well, anywhere. So if we had a national audience, we thought we would have a better chance of selling, which we did.
I was trying to remember from your book the way you described sort of what Pittsburgh restaurants were looking for at the time, and it didn't... I can't quite recall, but it did make me laugh.
Yes, the term was in 85, when we were trying to sell to restaurants in Pittsburgh at that time, I referred to it as surf and turf in Pittsburgh at that time was carp and kielbasa.
Suki, I was just very taken in the book. John referred to you as his wife who had been a Cincinnati debutante was now working a farm in western Pennsylvania. How did your parents, how did your family react when you and John decided you were going to buy a farm and start farming?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. There was a lot of disbelief here. They were always behind us, but a little bit behind.
Skeptical
would be a better way of saying it, yes. They didn't disapprove of it, but they didn't necessarily approve of it because it was totally a different lifestyle.
Well, it was, let me just jump in. So my father-in-law was absolutely convinced that I was leading his daughter down to a road to bankruptcy. He said, well, when you go bankrupt, you can always eat rib chops, which isn't bad. So I said, yeah, that's okay. But he was convinced it was a stupid idea.
But they did come around.
Did come around because they like food a lot. And Suki's mother went to Julia Child's cooking school in France, and that kind of gave us a little in meeting her. And then the three of us became very good friends over the years. So that was fun.
Yeah, so you befriended Julia Childs, who cooked with your lamb, and you mentioned in the book that you donated lamb to a benefit in Pittsburgh back in 1988, and that after that you started getting orders from some really well-known chefs, like Wolfgang Puck and others. Then the French chef, Jean-Louis Paladin, who at the time was a chef at the Watergate Hotel in Washington, and who was, as you describe it in the book, at the front of the food revolution, while Alice Waters, another friend of yours, was pushing for locally produced foods out west, Paladin was bringing it to tables on the East Coast. So would you tell us the story of when you were first carrying your lambs at his upscale hotel restaurant?
I have two lamb carcasses on my back, and Suki has one on her back. We pounded on the door, opened it, and there was a sea of white jackets of cooks and chefs, and all of a sudden, the sea was parted by this tall guy, about 6'4". This was Jean-Louis, and I had no idea who he was. And he looked at the carcass, he put his head inside the cavity of the lamb, and he's looking at everything and smelling and smiling and doing this and doing that. And all of a sudden he started crying. And he said, "I am sorry." He said, "I have not seen them like this since I am in France. This is a souvenir of my youth." It was really something else, I'll tell you. So the Jean-Louis liked our lamb so much because of the taste, the grass taste of the lamb.
Just interject, you know, I think a lot of people might not realize something that you've talked about in the book, of that the grass in Pennsylvania is actually particularly good.
Oh, it's amazing. And it gives a certain taste. So Jean-Louis' favorite lamb in France was one from an area called Sisteron. And in Sisteron's in the lower Alps, and the elevation is almost exactly the same as ours. So he and I always thought that the different flowers that they were eating and herbs they were eating were very similar to what we have here.
Well, I know you've gone through some tough financial times, the recession around 2008 and 9-10, like many people, but the farm has survived. You've become kind of famous, at least lamb farmer famous, with orders from many well-known chefs at restaurants. So now there's this health pandemic. What's happening with the farm now?
Well, it's a problem. We're trying to deal with it as best we can. We obviously have no restaurant business.
Meaning restaurants aren't open, so they're not ordering from you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So it was roughly 50% of our business. Probably more until Easter. Easter is a seasonal business for us, but every week we sell to the restaurants. And
we had 15 or 20 restaurants every week that would get orders from us.
Yeah, so it was huge business. So now we don't have that business.
But I would imagine Easter, a time of year when, you know, people are gathering in large groups, is a time when you get a lot of orders.
We're getting small orders because people aren't having big gatherings. So they're, you know, individual orders. Somebody will order one leg of lamb or
yeah, that's an interesting point. Oftentimes people would order three legs of lamb because they're having a huge Easter dinner with, you know, 15 to 20 people. And we aren't seeing that. We're having a lot of single
right.
orders, aren't we? Yeah.
Yes.
But it's still very busy. I mean, I think it's busy because it's Easter, but it's also busy because
of the
fact that we can ship directly to them and they don't have to go anywhere and nobody's touching it. It's going directly from the farm to them. They don't have to go to a store. So that's been, you know, and I'm not necessarily happy about it, but it is what it is. But that has probably helped the business somewhat.
That was John and Suki Jamison, who have raised lamb at their farm in western Pennsylvania for more than four decades. They spoke with the Allegheny Friends' Julie Grant. And to see photos of the Jamison farm and some of their lamb recipes, like lamb mushroom stroganoff and lemon lamb risotto, head to our website, alleghenyfront.org.